Today is Ascension Sunday, the day we celebrate the ascension of Jesus into heaven. Ascension Day was actually this past Thursday, 40 days after the resurrection. And some churches hold services on Ascension Day. We recognize it on the following Sunday, which is the last Sunday in Easter. Jesus' bodily ascension into heaven was a big deal and a very important part of the Easter story. Christians typically celebrate Christmas, Good Friday, and Easter, but in some circles, the ascension is rarely talked about. But it's just as important as the others, and it's good that we reflect on it and that we celebrate it. We heard the accounts from Luke 24 and Acts 1, which, by the way, Luke and Acts were written by the same author, Luke. Luke ended his gospel with the ascension, and he began Acts with the ascension. That should tell us that Luke wants us to pay attention to the ascension. Let's start with Luke 24, which is just a brief summary of the ascension. Beginning in verse 49, Jesus says, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." That's a reference to the outpouring of the Spirit, which would occur 10 days later on the day of Pentecost. It says, Jesus then led the apostles to the town of Bethany outside of Jerusalem, on the Mount of Olives. The Mount of Olives is where Jesus gave his lengthy discourse on the impending doom of Jerusalem, Matthew 23, 24, 25. It's where he began his triumphant entry on Palm Sunday, and it's where the Garden of Gethsemane is located. Significant events in the life of Jesus took place on the Mount of Olives, including the ascension. Verse 50 says, "He lifted up his hands and blessed them." Lifting up hands to bless someone was a normal gesture, hearkening back to Aaron's benediction. Aaron was the first high priest in the Mosaic covenant, and after all the sacrifices were offered, he lifted up his hands to bless the people. That's in Leviticus 9. "This is why I raise my hands to bless you at the end of our worship service. It's as if I'm placing my hand on all of your heads to bless you." And I even use the same words that Aaron used from Numbers chapter 6. So Jesus raised his hands to bless the apostles. And Luke 24 doesn't tell us what he said in the blessing. There's no elaboration on that. Acts 1 might give us a clue, but we can't say for sure. We do know that something marvelous happened as he was blessing them. Verse 51. "Now it came to pass, while he blessed them, that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven." So use your imagination and picture Jesus elevating off the ground, floating or flying up into the sky toward heaven. I don't know about you, but if I could just have one superpower, it would be to fly. But this wasn't a fictional superhero movie. This was real life with the real Jesus, and he really flew. This was a new thing for the apostles to witness. They'd seen Jesus do miracles, walking on water, teleporting, rising from the dead, but they'd never seen him do this. It was a magnificent sight to behold. Notice how they reacted to it. It says they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. So Jesus leaving the earth was not a bad thing. It was a good thing. It was a necessary thing, and it motivated the apostles to obey him. continually praising and blessing God. That's a great thing. We should think of Jesus here as a new and greater Enoch or Ezekiel, men who were caught up by God. Jesus was caught up, but differently and for a different purpose. Jesus was caught up to rule and reign bodily from heaven. We should also think of this as a fulfillment of the ascension offerings of the sacrificial system. The worshiper, via the animal being burned and turned into smoke on the altar, the worshiper ascended into God's glory cloud, which was like a portable heaven for Yahweh. Jesus is our true sacrifice, a flesh and bone man, and this was his ascension into heaven, into the Father's presence. The sacrifices not only pointed to the cross, they pointed to the resurrection and the ascension. Moving into Acts 1, Luke gives us more details about this event. When Jesus told them to tarry in Jerusalem to receive the promise of the Father, he said, "You shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." This is why the ascension was good and necessary, because it was the Spirit's turn to come down from heaven. In John 16, Jesus said, "It is good that I go away. It is good that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." Jesus is truly absent from us physically. He is truly absent from us physically, and he said that that was a good thing. Why? Because he wanted to glorify the Holy Spirit. It was now Jesus' turn to glorify the Spirit. It was the Spirit's time to indwell God's people. And of course, Jesus is truly present with us in a spiritual, mystical way because we have the Holy Spirit. They are one God in three persons. If you have one, you have all of them. Verse 8 of Acts 1 is the clue I mentioned a moment ago. This is the last recorded statement of Jesus before he ascended. Verse 8, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Could this be the blessing that Luke 24 mentioned? I could imagine that. I could imagine him lifting his hands and saying, "You will be my witnesses in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." It's a possibility, but we don't know for certain. Maybe he said additional things that just weren't recorded. But after that, verse 9, "Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight." Now we're told about a cloud. Luke 24 didn't say anything about that. That's a new detail. Here we have a cloud that covered Jesus and shielded him from their sight. Now, it could have been any cloud, but this could be another connection to the ascension offerings and the glory cloud. Did the glory cloud, which was so prevalent in the Old Testament, did the glory cloud show up to transport Jesus into heaven? Well, it's a fun speculation at any rate. Next, as the apostles were watching this happen, it says two men stood by them in white apparel, clearly being angelic beings. And they said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand up gazing into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven." This is, I believe, the first explicit prophecy of the second coming of Christ, the second bodily coming of Christ to earth. There are many passages in the Gospels about Jesus coming, but those are about him coming spiritually in judgment against Israel in the first century. But the angel said, he will come just as you saw him go. They saw him physically leave earth. He will physically return to earth. Acts 1:11 is very important for what we believe will happen in our future. For the apostles, Jesus' ascension meant that they would carry the torch. They would keep the ministry going. Don't stare off into heaven. You have a job to do. You'll receive power from heaven not many days from now. Be ready. The ascension enacted a new phase of history, with Jesus absent and his apostles left as his representatives. But what did the ascension mean for Jesus? What happened when he entered into heaven? The Bible tells us in several places. We heard Ephesians 1 this morning. Paul says that God seated Jesus at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. He put all things under his feet. Colossians 3, Hebrews 8 say the same thing. Jesus is now seated at the right hand of the Father on the throne. In Revelation 5, John saw a vision of Jesus' ascension from the perspective of heaven. He had already ascended in heaven. He's seeing everything. And then a lamb appears, a lamb that had been slain. And the angel sang, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." Jesus' ascension into heaven was his ascension to the throne. It was his enthronement above the earth and above the sun, moon, and stars. He is the human king over all creation. Now, as God in his divinity, Jesus has always been a king. But this was after the incarnation. That's what makes it different. Jesus is both God and man, and that is how a man can be the king of creation. Jesus' ascension might be more controversial than you think. Some Christians don't think Jesus is reigning as king yet. They might say he is king of their heart or king of the church, but that he isn't the king of the earth. They say he won't reign as king until he comes back and sets up an earthly kingdom. But that's false. That's a misinterpretation. Jesus has been reigning as king since the ascension, 40 days after Easter. That is when he took his seat on heaven's throne. Did Paul say that God has placed just some things under Jesus' feet? Just your heart? Or just the church? No, all things. Just as Jesus said in Matthew 28, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. We aren't waiting for Jesus to come back to begin his reign. His reign is right now. When Jesus comes back, it will be the end. His enemies will be defeated. We will be resurrected. And we will live forever in the new heavens and new earth. Jesus is king right now. He's victorious right now. That is his status and position. And it's on that basis that the church will be victorious throughout history. We suffer. We die. We're mocked. We're persecuted. But we will be vindicated. We will have victory. Just as Jesus suffered but was vindicated, so we will be. Like Jesus, we are people of suffering, but we're also people of victory. We are people of resurrection and people of ascension. Don't forget it. It's because of Jesus' ascension that we can accomplish the Great Commission. We can baptize the nations, which is what Jesus told us to do. That's not a mission impossible. It's a mission possible because Jesus is King and the Spirit has been given to us as our helper. The Spirit empowers us and guides us and protects us to do what Jesus commanded. When you hear about constant evil in the world, when you are hounded by evil people in the culture, government, Hollywood, social media, maybe people at work or school or in your own family, it can feel overwhelming. It can be depressing. It never feels good to be disliked or hated. But pay attention to the ascension. The reality is that Jesus is in control of all of it. So rest easy in that knowledge. Don't worry. Be glad. The world hates the Easter story because they hate the kingship of Jesus. That's what Easter means. Jesus is raised and, say it with me, he is ascended. Very good. They don't like Easter. They don't like the ascension because it means that Jesus is king, not them. They are not wanting to be in submission to King Jesus. They want to be their own lords, but he is the king, whether they know it or not, and whether they like it or not. As Spirit-filled, baptized believers, you should love the fact that Jesus reigns over every aspect of your life. Love it. Be thankful for it. Be grateful. Give God praise for it. The month of June will soon be upon us. And who knows what the world will do in their celebration of homosexuality, transgenderism, and other sexual sins. What better time to pay attention to the ascension? What better time to do that? Don't get depressed. Don't be miserable and callous and unloving. Go forth in joy with a victory mindset because Jesus is Lord. He is your Lord and he is the Lord over all the earth. The ascension was the climax of Jesus' ministry on earth. The Jewish and Roman rulers mocked him. They made fun of him for being a king. But the ascension proves that he really is the king. He truly is the king. He was victorious over his enemies, and he will continue to be. So, for you, Christian, you are to believe on his name. You are to be a faithful citizen in his kingdom, and you too will be victorious over sin and death and the devil.